street, they call it murder.
Welcome back to this sixth episode, Third Person Podcast, where we're providing a scene with a voice, giving the artists a chance to tell them about their come up and how they got started and what they've got going on. Excited to bring our very big guest to this one. She's the queen of rhythms.
She's a well-respected selector in the scene. She's known for her energy behind the decks, rubbing off onto the dance floor. And everyone's excited for when Rishi pulls up to a party. So we're happy for this one to kick off. We hope you all are too. Welcome on, Rishi.
Hiya, thank you so much for having me, lads. Excited to be here.
We're happy to have you on. So usually when we kick off the podcast, I think the best place to always start it is a DJ's journey from where it starts. And obviously, as we go on through the conversation, we'll go through all the experiences, careers and goals and what you've got going on. So let's kick it off of how did you get into the DJing? Where did the interest come into
the very start?
So when I was a little girl, I used to go to dance classes and do dance exams. And then when I was 6 years old, I danced to, do you know what LFO, Leeds Warehouse Mix?
No.
No, well, it's, you need to check it out. It's like, it's an absolutely iconic tune. I danced to that and got a distinction. But that's the first time I remember being like moved by a bass line and just being like, this is amazing.
You know it's in your heart.
Yes, definitely. And then anyway, I got older, and when I was a teenager, I was very lucky because my cousin Patrick used to take me to UK garage raves when I was like 14. And then I had friends as well who'd take me to, just UK garage parties in London. So that got me into, back then UK garage, it was very, it's not how it is now. It was very aspirational. Everyone used to wear like heels and drink champagne when
it was
they
like
went
a night out.
Yeah, definitely. But I remember then just absolutely falling in love with like with UK garage music. And then as I moved on from there, as I got older, I started going to Back to Basics in Leeds, which is a legendary house night. Celebrated its 34th birthday the weekend just gone. It's like an absolute institution. And just like I met a lot of DJs there, and I was just, I remember thinking, yeah, this is what I want to do. I want to be a DJ.
Yeah,
and then I bought myself a pair of decks and got them. I was living in a really little house in Middlesbrough at this point. And I ordered them to my mum and dad's house. And I remember my dad brought them round in the turntables round in his wheelbarrow and like delivered them to my house. And I remember thinking, yeah, this is like the start of something special. And it was.
What age was this, sorry?
Pardon?
What age were you when this happened?
I was like 25.
So you've been in the scene, you've been dancing. You were touched by music from early on. You were going to all these big rave scenes. UK garage back then obviously was more popping than it was when I was growing up.
Yeah,
it was more house, tech house kind of a few years ago, 5 years ago, when I was kind of getting into the music. So it's good to see that UK garage was popping back then, and it's getting back up to what it is now.
UK garage was just like, it was everything. It was just
because I still see all them old school videos of UK garage. It's probably at its best.
Yeah, no phones.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Oh yeah, it was special, and it was just the music. I remember like hearing tunes like "Wide Boys Stand and Deliver," which is like an unreal garage tune, and just that just going off in a garage rave. It was just
When I was younger, it was Zambuca was the one I was onto.
Sick.
So you mentioned you were going to the raves in Leeds and down in London.
Yeah.
Was the scene not quite up to what it was in Middlesbrough?
So Middlesbrough used to be there are still good nights there now, but Middlesbrough was always absolutely brilliant when I was a teenager. Not so much for house music, it was more like R&B. There was a night called Sugar Shack that a lot of people used to go to, but I'd mainly go out of town because I was more I was a garage girl, it was more going down south.
Best way to be.
Yeah, definitely. But very different. Like, I never wear heels to go out now, but I would always wear like high heels, dressed, you know, it was just, yeah, it was different, but it's like, it's beautiful how it's evolved into where what it
did
is
the
now.
Where did the big break come from? So when you got your first set of decks, you said you'd have brought them around the wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
When you were obviously practicing and doing it, where was your sort of like big break to become, like, get your first set and start?
So I used to practice like every night without fail. And eventually from going out in Leeds, I met a lass called Amilka, who put on parties basically at District, and she asked me to play there. So I played back to back with Amilka, and it was just like it was absolutely rammed, and it was, yeah, it was amazing. But then, so my first gig outside of Leeds was at the Cause in London.
Yeah.
And then I got an agent, David Oyston, and he started pushing me out, got me playing at Locus, and then I moved on to Fuse. So yeah, it all just like took off.
It's big. Just so we can kind of get an understanding of like the timeline of how quickly this happened. In Leeds, you had your first set at District.
Yeah, so I've just said it took off quite quickly. It actually took a very long time. It was just like once I started playing out of Leeds, that's when it all happened much faster. But sorry, what was the question?
So how old were you? So obviously you decked at 25. How old were you when you had your first set?
Right, 25. So I'd say my first set, I was like 26, 27.
Just smashing it for a year, 2 years.
Yeah, just, yeah, getting confident on the decks, yeah. Yeah.
So your role was just spinning, mixing, or was you adding a little bit of production when you got your first decks? Because
just mixing, just straight mixing, yeah, selecting, Final being a DJ, yeah,
partying a lot.
Absolutely, yeah. Still
partying now.
Yeah, I love going out. Like last night was in the White Hotel for Crazy P. Chris Todd was playing, who's a good friend of mine, and that was like really special. So I do love to get on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Not as much as I used to, because I like to chill out when I'm not DJing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So what's the sort of what made you, was it your daughter that was interested before you sort of invited her, or was it more of you wanted to bring her into this?
When my daughter was younger, she wasn't interested in the music I was playing at all. She didn't get it. She used to like, when I used to play in bars, like to bring extra money in, like quite corporate gigs that you have to do as a single parent at times because it brings in the extra money.
Mm-hmm.
She'd like put her like AirPods in, and just like, if I ever took her with me because I didn't have a babysitter, she'd sit in the booth with her AirPods in. She wasn't interested. And but then I'd say about 2 years ago, she suddenly, I don't know, it was just, it was like an overnight thing. She suddenly got really into
the music. She got that cool mum thought. She was like,
she never, she never thought I was cool. It's only been, I don't know if she thinks I'm cool now, but it's been like the last year or two. It's like, she absolutely loves it now. And she's like, she was doing artist liaison for East End Dubs at Testbed like last week. And like, she's like immersed in the scene.
Do you reckon she's going to become something in the scene, whether it's might not be DJing, but just be involved in it?
Yeah, Lily wants to put her own parties on, and she she wants to be an agent as well. She's got a very good head on her, Lily.
Yeah.
So, but she absolutely, I mean, she's like, she's a teenager, but she's been to some of the absolute like best places in the world, like after Capsule, Gotwood, like.
She definitely thinks you're a cool mum after going around the world.
She does now, which is lovely. Yeah. But yeah, I was like, yes, you finally got it.
My mum's Rishi.
Must be cool having your mum as Rishi, though.
So how was it balancing, obviously bringing up a child as a single parent, like mm-hmm. you say, and obviously trying to build this career in DJing? What was you doing like as she was growing up?
So, first of all, like I said, I'm very lucky. Like Lily is such a beautiful daughter. We've always had like such a good relationship and just life together. I've always really looked after myself, getting to the gym, eating healthy, meditating, yoga every day. Yeah, staying disciplined.
Yeah.
And I always think as well, like, you've got to stick with your plan, not with how you're feeling. So. Yeah. Discipline, definitely. So like, there's been times when I've like got my daughter to bed and I'm tired, but I'm just like, no, I need to get on my decks and practice, you know. Sick. There's been, yeah, so just like sheer discipline. And I think being a single parent as well, it makes you very determined, because a lot of people will tell you that you can't do certain things, or they'll kind of say, they'll not so much now, but in the past, make out that they feel quite sorry for you because, oh, it's going to be, you know, it's hard for you. I bet you'd love to just go for it with DJing. But I've always just thought, like, no, I'll, like, you know, I'll do what I want. I will, yeah, you know, if I put my mind to something.
So is now, like, the full-time DJing? So when was the sort of jump to maybe like going full time DJing? Is that where you're at?
So DJing is my main source of income, but yeah. I'm also a qualified teacher. Yes.
So Rishi as a whole, the big question, I mean, I'm interested in is where did the name come from?
Rishi. So my name's Marisha, which is Polish for Mary.
Makes sense though.
And then my dad always called me Rishi. I actually got called Mo a lot at school.
Mo?
Yeah.
For Marisha.
I don't know why. It's because
Mo Risha.
I do know why. Because Moesha was like a sitcom that was like really big back then. So, you know Brandy, the singer?
Yeah.
She was like the main part on that. So that, I think that's where the name Mo came
from. So your dad's Polish, is he?
No, my mum.
Your mum's Polish.
Yeah. So she's Polish and Italian, half Polish, half Italian. But her pen friend, was called Marisha, so she named me after her.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love that. Where was sort of, as you've come through your whole journey now being a DJ, where's some of the best moments that you've experienced now? Like after you had this breakthrough when you were 27 and you've had many sets back to every weekend.
When I look at what I've done and how far I've come, I find it quite overwhelming at times because I'm like, how did I get here? Do you know what I mean? I've always took it one step at a time.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, just some of, I'm trying to think, like just playing places like After Capsule, absolutely magical. Just Fuse Open Air, like always, yeah. And like an absolute highlight.
Alongside all these big names as well. And you're very well networked around the scene. You know a lot of DJs. Is this just kind of over the time and getting a lot of respect off them?
Does that come from the partying aspect afterwards or just like networking?
I think it comes from just being sound, just having empathy and getting on with people, having time for people really. Because of having my daughter young, I've always like just had to like pick when I'm going out, not being out every single weekend, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? But it's, yeah, because of that, like the first time I ever went to Fuse was when I played there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like my first time going to a lot of things has been when I'm playing there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%,
it's like,
And you can't always go into like the after parties if you've got Lily with you and maybe you can't always,
I think that with things like after parties, people can burn out very quickly. Yeah. It's really important to have any longevity in DJing.
Yeah.
Well, for me, definitely, it's really important to have balance. And
So same with the networking side. I'm aware, obviously, you're quite close to Jelson and likes that. Who would you say within the scene, or other than Jelson?
I love Jelson.
Yeah,
shout out Jelson.
How did you guys meet?
So I played I played before Rossi at the Loft and Jelson was there with like all the OBP lads.
Yeah, the squad.
And then, with the full squad. And then the rest was just history. I was just like, who are these lads?
They always speak very highly of you.
They're lovely. And then I loved playing at the OBP party last summer as well.
They love it.
But like then Jelson, like in what you'd class as like the upcoming DJs who in a couple of years time are just really gonna
Jelson is one to watch.
Huge.
Yeah, he's so talented.
So you've got that network with Jelson and Jensen, who's both of them are killing the game right now. But give it a couple of years time, they're both gonna just sprout into being some huge names in the scene. You've also got that network with sort of the more respected and the guys who have been in the scene for a lot longer. How did you kind of build relationships with them as well?
Is it growing?
So I feel so blessed because for me, people like in lockdown, I used to listen to Truly Madly's Ghost Cast like every single day. It kept me sane, like doing the cleaning, working out. I'd have Truly Madly's Ghost Cast playing. And then it's like, and now that I've played back to back with him, like all night long at the Loft, I'm like, God, how's that happened? It's surreal. I think it's just been from, I think talking online has helped. Just if you think something that someone's doing is sick, you should always tell them. Mm-hmm. I think just having time for everybody, people around you, is really important. Not just to be like only being nice to people who can get you somewhere.
Just support everyone.
I think if
everyone,
you're giving off, if you're giving off good energy, you attract it back to yourself.
I think people can naturally see when someone's like not being real, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll pick and choose what they support.
Like, just going off what you said then, when someone, say for the likes of someone, is trying to be nice just for the sake of, they know they can get them somewhere, you can almost see that for them. Yeah.
You can tell. Like, I think it's genuine. Yeah, you attract back what you put out.
Yeah,
definitely.
Exactly. 100%.
So I think that's, yeah.
So would you say you're very close to Madley now?
Yeah.
Seen that back three back you did with him and Gene on Earth in the last
crazy work.
Liquid Earth. It was so good. That was a beautiful night. Yeah. It was just, start to finish.
One for the history books.
Yeah, definitely. I
was actually supposed
forever.
To go that night, but I'll be honest with you.
I didn't make it.
Where's one of your favourite venues in the UK? Because the Loft's always, everyone shouts
obviously
about the Loft.
The Loft.
But then I seen you played Fabric the other week.
Yeah,
so it's
I love that. Room 2 in Fabric. I love the booth in there.
It's insane.
And it was great. I played back to back with Lucas in there, Lucas Alexander and Julian Anthony. And it's that's one of my favourite booths. And I love Fabric. Also, I love the Cause as well.
I've never been
to the Cause.
Yeah, the Cause is brilliant. And Under the Arches in Leeds is just my favourite venue.
I think we make it a lifestyle for yourself. You're constantly probably going to all these different places. Like for us, mm-hmm. as probably just viewers, we don't really get the chance to go to like London as much, especially being up north. I travel to Leeds quite a lot. I've been to District a few times, but the likes of all the...
I think I've been to Fabric
twice.
Like, oh, really?
But I love it there, but it's getting there and...
It's the logistics,
isn't it?
When you haven't got a logistics manager planning out your travel for you and sorting your ground transport.
Would you say you're quite busy at the moment now, constantly up until the next year?
Yes, I am.
Weekend after weekend, though.
Yeah, I am. Obviously, not this weekend. Excuse me. But yeah, I've got some really... I'm looking forward to playing at things like BU. BU and Dungeon Meet. So I can't wait to play at that. Playing at Under the Arches again. Playing another back-to-back with Lucas Alexander at Digital in Newcastle.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Do you just bounce off each other?
Yes, we do. We get on really well. And he's so talented as well. And I love Lucas's like sound, that kind of just like low slung kind of bass line.
He's kind of character that lives for it.
You've got
to live for it.
He does.
It's going to make it your lifestyle.
And I'm playing at, do you know Capsule in Liverpool.
Next to the Cave.
So I'm playing there for Paul Street Sounds.
They had Dungeon Meet there not long ago, didn't they?
Yeah. And I played for them. So that's on Mad Friday. I played for them last Mad Friday as well. And it was just like one of my highlights of the year.
For Paul Street as well.
I'll most likely be becoming that Mad Friday one.
I'm excited for that.
Is that a new ritual then, Paul Street?
Yeah, they said to me after it, they were like, we think we're just going to get you down for every Mad Friday. I was like, buzzing.
I was at the last one in the cave. I was there.
Oh, were you?
Yeah, yeah.
No way.
I turned up, it was with them all in the middle. It was like the cave with all the lights hanging and stuff. And I think I caught, like, you were on last, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I stayed for like an hour and a half because I was sober as well. So I was just getting tired. But yeah, it was a good set.
Thank you.
What venue was Slap Funkin' the other week?
So that was at Testbed in Leeds, another Unreal venue.
Cool. Looks like a cool venue. That looks a bit like a shelter type thing.
It's a proper like warehouse. Mint. Are you thinking of Under the Arches?
Under the Arches
is like the shelter. Like,
could be it. Could be that one.
Yeah. So Under the Arches is literally under.
Is
under
Testbed
railway
new?
Arches. Testbed is new. Yeah. So that's like a big warehouse.
I'm thinking the one that's
capacity.
like that.
That's Under the Arches.
You're thinking under of Under the Arches, which
I
is
see why you mean that's sick because that's why I was seeing a clip of that.
Yeah.
I thought that was for Slap Funk. Was it for Ruckus?
I played for Slap Funk there before, but the last time I played for Slap Funk was at Testbed, and then I played after. Like, so I played on my own, and then I played back to back with Melody afterwards. Another person that I love playing back to back with.
He loves the dancing.
His
videos on Instagram.
There's something
class.
About Melody's like energy that is very special.
I can imagine that energy behind the decks being crazy.
I've just realised as well I'm pronouncing his name wrong because I keep saying Melody and then people are thinking of the woman. But I mean, Melody. Yeah, you have to.
Why would you say like melody?
Yeah, if you say melody,
because you're saying like it's a melody.
It's melody. Yeah, oh. So yeah.
Yeah, no,
there's two DJs. Yeah.
If you're watching this, Melody. I'm sorry for pronouncing your name wrong just then.
The OG.
So what would you say some of the best sets you played? I know you say best venue, Capocile, which also could be your best set because of the energy in Capocile.
Yeah.
I was gonna bring it up. My favourite set yourself is the Ruckus mix that's on SoundCloud. I can't remember, it's like a red background.
Yeah, you know, that's quite an old one, yeah.
Me and Charlie and Blanny, my mate, when we went to Dimensions last year, that was our mix of the holiday. Like,
oh, I'm glad you like it, because I had it on the other day and I was like, oh, no, there's a lot of room for improvement in
loose,
here.
That loose track. Yeah. I think it's like, it's 23 minutes in. I know exactly where it is. Yeah, I always go.
I know the Lelouch track you're referring to. I love the music in it, so but good. Some of the ordering is not great. But it is just, I'm more experienced now, so I suppose I can hear
that track. I couldn't hear it anywhere else. We were just constantly just replaying that whole mix, and it was just fire.
Probably give you 1,000 views across the
holiday. I probably did put 1,000 streams on it.
Right. I did notice that the views went up on it last summer.
If you go into like the logistics of it, you'll just see my name at the top, because I must have
most
spammed
played.
Yeah, number most one played. Fan. Yeah, like, yeah, it puts down now, doesn't it? Who's like played?
So in your SoundCloud, you could be like,
I'll get my
fanboy.
Phone up.
I'm gonna check.
It's,
if you're not my number one, I'm gonna be ringing you and saying you need to listen a few
in
more
the
times.
Top. It'll be in my listening history. That's how recent it is. Yeah. So.
Oh, I'm glad you like
it's
it.
A heavy mix.
We're all fanboys anyway. Everyone's a fan. Everyone's a fan of you in the scene.
No, I'm a fan of that mix.
He's just the biggest.
I am a big fan of that mix. I do like it.
Oh well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. I'm not trying to be too obsessed. Right, as you've all probably already seen, we've got our website out for our clothing brand. We're trying to do a sort of separate to the media side, building an actual clothing brand external. So it's called Third Season as a whole, but the branding's still the same as the podcast. Our logo stays the same. We've got a bunch of caps out at the moment. So if you want to go and buy a cap for your nan, go and buy a cap for your brother, buy a cap for your uncle, anyone, we've got caps for you.
Caps for anyone. There's no one specific that suits a cap. Even Morris's granddad's got a third cap. Why don't you? There's a colourway for you. Third.uk on the internet. And yeah, show some love. We'll have
Third Season on the Instagram. We've got caps coming for babies. We've got everything. We've got baby grows the lot.
Everything. We've got shit in the pipeline. So yeah, run it.
Yeah, big up.
It's
a good mix.
Anyway, I run back to the question. Yeah. What was the best set you've played? Like, that you just can't get out of your head. Because I know you're saying Capocile, the energy, everyone's shooting. A couple, obviously the energy in there is probably different, but like, what's something that you've come away from like that was the best ever?
Do you know what? There's so many, like I could say so many different ones. The one that's springing to mind at the moment is like the last Under the Arches that I played was really special. You do need to come to Under the Arches, it's unreal. But also like Fuse Open Air, like the set I played on the clearing stage the last time I played there. And it was like I played first, but it was just like there were so many people there for the set.
Were you on the lineup for Fuse Open Air this year?
Was that this year? The one just gone, yeah. So so it was like quite a small intimate stage, but it was just it just filled up straight away, and it was just special, really. I had loads of my mates there as well in the crowd. My mum and dad have come to Fuse Open Air as well. Yeah, they loved it. Everyone was going up to my dad like, oh my god, like you're so cool, and my dad was just having a great time drinking tequila with Sean Key.
do they party quite a lot, or just like here and there they select a few?
They'd come to everything. My mum loves a dance, and my mum is just like so beautiful and just love, like, radiates good energy, so she loves being out. My dad as well, yeah. My dad's more of a raver than my mum. But they'd come to everything if they could. So they come into digital when I play back-to-back with Lucas Alexander. That's cool. In Newcastle, yeah.
So with you saying that your mum and dad have the energy and dancing, it obviously radiates on yourself, because we'll go back to, we had Jensen on the podcast, mm-hmm. and you were playing a back-to-back with him, and the music...
That was one of my favourite sets this year as well.
He was just telling us about how your energy
The music must have took over, because you jumped on his back at some point in the set.
Yeah,
and
so...
He was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, oh, bless him. Do you know what? I absolutely...
Shout out to Jensen.
I do. I love Jensen. He is so talented. And yeah, we do. We have a really good energy between us.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, we do. So yeah, we were just like, it was the feeling of that, because obviously we were playing first, and that tent, there were people, like Kurt, who runs Hide and Seek, said there were people running to the tent, to the dome. Yeah.
I couldn't get in that tent, you know.
I
went, and there was like...
There was a big queue straight away, wasn't there?
Couldn't get in.
Yeah. So it
so you
was,
just wanted to jump on his back to get
it
a better look.
It was going off, yeah, just to see. Yeah, which, just checking all my friends that said they were going to be there were there. Do you know what I mean? But no, it was just so like exciting. It's like, and I felt like childlike. I felt like a little girl. Do you know what I mean?
Just so giddy.
It was just
That's
like.
Heavy dopamine.
Yes, very much.
Can imagine.
Completely sober as well. So it's just he music.
Actually,
music
told us,
is the. It's the most, like, the music just transforms.
Music is the
just
drug.
How you feel.
That's
it really is. Yeah.
So. You told us that you were a few minutes late to that set, so we was
running
the
The logistics were a nightmare. So
you need a logistics guy.
It's like, it's not the hide and seek logistics. It was just the fact that I didn't have any signal when I got there.
You couldn't get in the tent.
Yeah, I couldn't get in the tent. I had to fight my way in. You should have seen Jensen's little face, though, when I got there. I could see he was, like, panicking.
Stressing out.
Yeah, it was awful. Honestly, it broke my heart.
Really caring for
him. But then it was all good.
And then you had to just drop a slammer just to be like, Jensen, I've got this on control.
We warmed into it a little bit first, and then we started with the slammers, yeah.
Getting greedy.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I know that's a back-to-back, and obviously you both bounce off each other, and you have that mutual understanding of what journey you're going to take a set on. But when you approach a set, do you just ease into it, or would you drop a slammer straight off?
It depends.
Off?
You've got to be a good DJ.
Be like, Rishi's here.
It depends. Sometimes I said to Enzo once, I said, with that set, I felt as though I wanted to warm into it a bit, but it was like walking a pit bull in the park, because it was like you had to let it off the lead, because the dance floor were just absolutely gagging for it.
Sometimes so you I can had feel to it, let it, imagine.
Yeah, you have to go, you have to get, so yeah, if that, so I do, I mean, in an ideal world, you want to go on it. I prefer a longer set so that I can go on a journey and warm into it. But you do have to go with what
sometimes
what
just
the dance
slap
floor
one in.
Wants. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What's your favourite one to sort of slap in straight off of the bat?
Oh, there's so...
I can imagine there's millions in your head.
I don't have one particular tune for it, because, I mean, every set I'll pack a different bag and download different tunes to my USB. But just... There's a few Jamie Fielding tunes that I love that are like really good for just when you're just getting it serious and you're just bringing the energy up a notch. But yeah, you can just feel it. It's all about, I think, DJing, it's all about your intuition and...
Just feeling the crowd and feeling the moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can imagine.
So you just pack a bag of vinyls and download some digitals, but you don't order them enough and you just go... Here's a list of
no,
tunes.
I don't put them in any order. So I just
it's an experience skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have an idea of what'll work and what I wanna play. But no, I never do plan it at
just
all.
Read
I just
the
go
room,
right? Yeah, definitely. I just go with a open mind, really, not knowing what to expect.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah,
I reckon that's probably where the best sets come from. Unplanned,
I think that's my favorite part about DJing. I love being part of a moment of time in a massive energy. Do you know? I think it's just beautiful, and it's like I remember some of the most healing moments of my life have been on the dance floor, and to experience that as a DJ with people, for me that is just what it's all about. You know,
controlling the room.
What I live
You've
for.
Got the power.
Yeah,
you've got the power.
Feeding off a room of people and being in it together.
Infectious.
Unreal.
I feel like social media has had a big impact on sort of the new style of sort of, say the new wave of DJs coming in. But sort of back when it was, vinyl was a real skill. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can imagine it's good to have learnt vinyl from the off.
It's when I first
got... And then now, because you don't get that much these days.
Well, when I first got my decks, I knew it was really important that I learned to mix by ear, because I thought then no one can take that away from me. And also as a woman, you do not so much now that I'm more established, I don't really get this. But when you first start, you get a lot of comments about, oh, you're only getting gigs because you're a woman. You're only getting gigs because the promoters fancy you. Yeah, a lot of sexism. But that was another reason that I wanted to know that I could mix vinyl so that no one could take that away from
me.
No one
can tell me shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that was really important to me.
Is that just like online comments you get in?
No, it's not. It'll online. Like this was back in the day. This was like when I first started playing out. Not now, not ever now.
You're established now.
Yeah, exactly. But I've had to really fight to prove myself. Mm-hmm.
So. No, it's powerful that you've had to break through that sort of barrier of people.
Yes.
Doubting your and your capabilities.
Absolutely.
To this respected DJ that you are now, and obviously well respected deep vinyl digger. So where are your favourite vinyl shops? Do you still go digging now? Or sound records from back in the day?
I love Recycle Vinyl in Dalston. I was there quite recently. That's a brilliant shop. And the owner, Rob, has just got a mint selection in there. And once he gets to know what you like, he can like pull your tunes out that you're going to like. I do buy a lot on Discogs. I mean, it's quite expensive to do that. I've just bought a load of records that are like, I looked to get them from somewhere closer to home, but I ended
like
up getting them all
quid.
Shipped in from the USA. Yeah. And then you have to pay extra when it's a order above a certain amount. And
So back when you said you used to love garage when you first started, like, was that more of a UK garage? When did the sound garage sort of like develop into what it is today?
So when I was a teenager, it was UK garage, a lot more two-step. I don't play that much two-step now. But then, because Speed Garage, which I play a lot of now, Speed Garage was seen as being a bit chavvy. it was seen as not being as classy. But when I heard Speed Garage myself, I was like,
your heart
when
said
I heard
yes.
like some of like the Jeremy Sylvester, big tracks, I was like, bangers. I don't care if you don't think this is cool.
It's not
this
classy because cool. we're all in heels. Yeah. And
like, there's something then, about on a heavy system when it hits you in the chest.
But it was honestly, it was seen as, that was seen as not being cool and made it,
When
but
did you reckon it sort of like?
Just now, like the modern scene. Yeah. So in like from 2022 onwards, that's when it
post COVID.
Some of the tunes that I play out now are like big, and that like Fumiya Tanaka plays
Japanese wizard.
Are just big bassline tunes that had been played in like Sheffield and Birmingham in 1999.
Now they're finally getting the light of day. Really.
What's one of the hardest lessons or hardest things that you've overcome being a DJ? So I know you were saying about the sexism. I'm sure that was very difficult but maybe in some situations you had to bite your tongue and you had to pick and choose what fights you had when people were saying these things about you. What's your hardest lesson that you've overcome?
I think it's been just managing my mental health has been a big thing. I've got a condition called OCD, and when people think of OCD, they think of it as being like a thing that you love cleaning, and it's actually not like that. So
I'm very familiar. I've got it, and I know someone very close to me with OCD. Yeah,
right. So you understand then. So just for anyone that hasn't like doesn't know about OCD, it's like you have intrusive, like really horrible thoughts, but you feel a high level of anxiety when you have those thoughts. And for me, a big thing has always been, if I have an intrusive thought, a big thing has always been that I've thought, that makes me a bad person. And the OCD, the OCD will tell you to do things in threes or line things up really straight or whatever. Otherwise, you want that intrusive thought to come true. That's what it's telling you. Mm-hmm. And before I knew I had OCD, I used to think I was just like a really bad person, that I didn't feel I could speak to anyone about how I was feeling. And I got into a very, very bad place where I had to go to hospital. So, and then once I got my diagnosis, it it was just such a relief to me.
Provided
it was
like some clarity.
Yeah, it really was. And I realised I wasn't a bad person. I just had a mental health condition. But now education, compassion from other people and compassion for myself has like helped me so much and has freed me, really. So, yeah, navigating that. But music has always provided me with a lot of relief. But then obviously navigating that and trying to get a DJ career going,
we're having
been a lot.
The understanding of finding out it was OCD, have you come across people in life where they've had a similar and you can be able to talk
yeah,
to them about it?
From talking about it yeah. online, I've had like some messages from people who've said to me, oh my God, thank you, because like they've been suffering and not knowing what's... When you don't know you've got OCD, it's just the worst thing. It's a high cause of suicide because it's impossible to live with. So I have had messages when I've spoken about it online just saying thank you.
I bet it makes you feel better about it.
It does, because I'm paying forward what people did for me when I was suffering.
Yeah. Would you always, you're always supporting people in your DMs, anyone who's also struggling
Absolutely.
With something similar?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, 100%. My DMs are always open to anyone suffering. Like,
yeah, you're quite humble in that sense, I'd say.
Like, yeah, it's just paying it forward because of what other people have done for me. That's meant that I'm still here today.
It's just these values that you have about yourself, just being a very genuine person, supporting people, but also equal opportunity in the scene.
That's probably why people like you as well as the DJing as well. Like, you do all the content, and we did that content with Glasboo when you're doing that event. When you do
I love the Glasboo lads. Yeah, that was loads of fun. Matty, Delboy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a right laugh
doing that. That was a funny content, yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen a few videos. You've obviously... I feel like content is a big thing, but do you feel like because you've come from that older scene, what's your opinions on the sort of content?
A bit of content, you know. Yeah. I think it's good as... I know a lot of DJs say they like to let the music do the talking, and I get that.
Yeah.
But for me, I do like to put myself across as a person as well. That's just for me.
I think you do in this day and age, but I think it's constantly evolving. I feel like social media is such a big influence, especially on the scene now. I mean, I know people say they have this TikTok sound and they have the non sort of phone parties, but at the same time, I feel like I get both arguments.
Yeah, I think you've got to do what feels right. Definitely, each to their own.
Yeah,
but for me, I like it. Yeah.
So any big content dropping for yourself then?
I need to start. Do you know what my daughter keeps saying to me? Mum, you need to start making more TikToks.
You should do mum and daughter ones or something. You should make your own podcast.
We are going to watch this space.
Oh my gosh. Right.
Don't say gosh.
Here it is. Here's a new series you put out on your TikTok. Mum teaches daughter how to spin vinyl.
And
she is actually learning at the moment.
Wow.
Yes,
so it's that play on word.
Yeah. Good idea.
Episode one, teaching Lily the basics.
We'll ring spinning. Lily when we get out of here.
You heard it here first. Yeah,
that's it. Lily will be all over that as well.
She will. She's honestly, she's always
does
like,
she not want to learn
to
how to DJ?
She is. She's learning how to DJ. But again, vinyl. She wants to know how
Bad
to
DJ. You can also show off your skills of vinyl spinning, but also...
Show the mother skills.
The mother skills.
Absolutely.
And also the connection and the banter and the friendship that you've got with your daughter and how close that connection is.
I think that's a really good idea.
So come to us for the ideas.
I know
what we're doing.
Yeah.
I want a cut of it. That TikTok.
Yeah. We'll invoice you.
That TikTok pay.
Yeah. We're good.
No, it's a great idea.
It's a great way for you to get out your personality. Obviously, people know DJs slightly off bits of content they do, but like, this is what we kind of brought this podcast in, is for DJs to have that platform for people to understand what they like as a person, and obviously we're proving to everyone how genuine you are as a person, and really just you showing off your personality. I think it's good for people to understand what DJs are like as opposed to just the music that they spin.
So
yeah, definitely, it's good to put across the whole person, not
100%.
So what we like to do as well as part of a segment is we ask every DJ, I mean, we only really started it the last episode, but as you're saying, your daughter wants to start becoming a DJ, she could probably be in the youth squad. We like to ask every DJ what's sort of the five-a-side team for DJs.
So what for, like, for football?
Yeah, so it's like a football concept, but like, you say, if you have a five-a-side, who would be in your five-a-side?
Right,
as in, like, basically, what's your five best DJs?
Right. Oh, God.
You
right.
Could just,
okay.
You could just reword it as being like the Avengers.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, yeah.
Well, okay, let me think. So,
yeah, what's your Avengers
with, right, so with this kind of thing, obviously.
You don't want to hurt anyone.
No. No. Yeah. No, I could say about 50 people.
Yeah, that's your network so, is so
but this
broad
is how I'm feeling yeah. today.
We'll do two teams then. We'll do the new era.
Well, we'll sit here for like half an hour and I'll just reel them all. We'll get my Instagram up and I'll go, oh, yeah, him. Yeah. I love her as well. Right, so. I would have
squad of 50.
I would have my best friend Bobby O'Donnell, who's the resident at Mint Warehouse. Yeah, yeah. Definitely, he's insane.
You made a track for him,
didn't you? Yeah, yeah, one of the most talented people I know. Jane Fitz as well, like the goat. She's like, whenever I've seen Jane play, she's just been flawless. Yeah. And she's just like. Like no one else. Fumiya Tanaka as well.
Wizard.
Yeah.
The Japanese wizard.
Yeah. He just like. He's the GOAT. And he's so cool too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When did I see him? I seen him at Slap Funk's May Progress Centre. Not last year. So Phone Tracks were on. It was 2024. I actually remember it was the 5th of May 2024. And. I seen him for the first time and it was one of the best sets I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, it was unbelievable.
And then absolutely magical.
Remember, I got a bit tired at Gotwood as well and I sort of like went bed a bit early. But my tent was behind the stage where Fumaya was playing Gotwood this year. So I sort of fell asleep listening to Fumaya.
Oh, did you? Like he was playing, a gnarly bass line.
He was playing Blinded by Anthill Mob.
Yeah.
And I remember listening to it thinking, I've never heard anyone play that live. And I was thinking,
just hypnotizing
to play. Because I was gutted, but I was just finished. And I was like, I need to go back to the tent. I was lying down. And when I got back in the tent, I just remember thinking, I'm right behind the stage here. And I was looked at the phone. I was like, oh my God, Tanaka's playing. I was like, better. So I just sat there listening, lying in my sleeping bag like that.
You were enjoying your set from the comfort of your tent.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
Sorry, I've just gone off side chat.
No, it's fine. Right, how many have I got? Team. I've got three, I think, so far. Get Sonia Munir on there as well.
Yeah, class.
And yeah, got to be Truly as well.
Truly, man.
Yeah.
We'll make it a nine aside. Keep going.
Keep make it a nine aside. Oh, wow.
Short 20.
50. Right. Enzo. I love Enzo. Like, I really do. With Enzo, I love when he's playing really, really deep as well and just.
Yeah.
Just. Yeah, when he played in Fabric Room 1 recently, it was just, yeah, that was really, really special.
Just a journey.
Took it really deep, yeah. So how many I'd am I on
just
now?
Throw one more
put,
in.
Put yeah. one more in.
Throw one more in.
Oh, there's so many that I could say.
There's so many more. Do you know what?
Just say the last one could
I'm
be everyone.
Say, yeah, the last one can be
just a rolling substitute.
The whole of OBP.
Yeah, the do you know? Yeah, the whole of OBP. That is a good shout. They are all so talented, though, aren't they? Like, just such a.
I was with Simo last night. He was partying to Jamiroquai. He was fun, but yeah, it was good.
Yeah, you went to see Jamiroquai.
Yeah, it was good.
Night,
it was good. Yeah,
so, am I right in saying that you don't really produce?
No, I'm more of a DJ. The music that I've made has all been in the studio with Bobby, who is just like. Amazing producer and engineer. Just he works so quickly. If you've got an idea in your head and you like sing it or say this is how you want it to sound, Bobby's just like gone.
That's the art of being a good producer, though, to be able to take the idea from your head and put it onto the software.
How have you found growing up in the scene but not producing? Has there been any effects? Has it been challenging?
I think I'm very lucky because I know that it is important for a lot of people to produce. For me personally, I've been very lucky because I've managed to get to where I am and keep going where I'm going without the producing. Yeah. I am a DJ at the end of the day and like selecting tunes, digging for tunes and creating a journey through a set. That's my craft.
That's your niche. Yeah,
yeah. I'll never kind of apologise for the fact that I am not really as much of a. I'm not a producer.
Well, you're just resonating with the fact that that's your skill.
Yeah, and this is what feels right. And it's like you've got to. I'm putting across like myself and being authentic. So it's like, yeah, I'll just keep going.
You don't have to be.
Keep going with that.
You don't have to be, and you're doing very well.
Thank you.
Not producing.
Doing my best.
100%. And I know it's important for a lot of people to produce for networking possibilities.
And I do get that. But for me, it's been my journey's just been a bit different.
I think you either have to be a really good producer or you have to be a really good networker. Mm-hmm. And I feel like both of them can get you to where you need to be. But you need to be either locked into one or locked into the other.
Or a good producer or a good track digger.
And that's the
list.
Yeah.
But
if you network, it's all now at the same time, it's having the skill, but it's also like everything in life, it's not what you know, it's who you know, isn't it? And it's like,
I think a lot of your success will come from having a lot of self-belief as well and being like, sure.
What, manifestation?
Yeah, manifestation is good as well. I mean, I feel quite uncomfortable with talking about manifesting. So I think about people who are living in like war-torn places like Gaza or whatever. I think what can
you know,
it's nice for
them?
Me being able to manifest living in Leeds, you know, in my nice flat, but it's like, so sometimes I feel a bit uncomfortable with it, but yeah, manifesting for me,
because they would be manifesting what we would consider a miracle.
Yes, exactly. You've got to count your blessings.
So would you not say it's part of your mind? Manifestation would not be one of your sort of your main mindset.
It is. I just think recently I've been a bit like just quite aware of how privileged I am. And just like as I've got older, I really notice all the little things in life to be grateful for. And I think just thinking about people that don't have those privileges, it has made me question the way I talk about manifesting a bit.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't know. It's like there's a lot of luck in it as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
so what is the overall mindset for yourself? Like, what do you preach? Like, what is Rishi?
Self belief and just taking myself as just who I am. So just accepting, like, you know, sometimes you're gonna have days where you feel awkward or a little bit off or whatever, but it's just accepting and still loving yourself just the way that you are, and it's just as well. Knowing why you're doing it, why you're DJing,
because
you love the music, just knowing why you're there. And I think that if you just stay strong in those things, you know, you'll do well.
How important is it to block out all the outside noise and just focus on yourself? Because I think that is that's something that so many people struggle with, is taking other people's opinions into account when it's what you want to do that matters.
Yeah, I think that's where discipline comes in. So you've got to be locked in. You can't be on your phone all the time. You've got to be doing things to keep yourself healthy. For me, meditating is a really important part of my day, and good for blocking out outside noise as well. I think it's just important to... You're in your lane. Let other people be in their lane.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
100%. If you cross paths, you cross paths.
So with you being in your lane, what is the goal for your lane within the next 5 years?
So, well, after going to the White Hotel last night, I want to play at the White Hotel. That is my goal. Yeah, definitely. But with five-year plans, I used to think like this, but now I am very, like, rooted in the present moment. In 5 years, I want
to
be just
I guess you don't really
happy.
Need to sort of and, plan like that, really, because I mean, there's always progression, isn't there? I can imagine for yourself, you're probably always setting the bar, but at the same time, it's like...
You've really got to enjoy the journey. Yeah. I think that when people are constantly thinking about the next thing, it can become quite... I think it can become quite toxic and bad for your mental health as well. I think you've really got to appreciate the journey, because there's been times where I thought, oh, I really want to play this gig. I really want it to come off. And then, like, the promoters got in touch with my agent or whatever, and I've been thinking, oh, please, I really want to get this gig. I hope it happens. And then I've got it. The amount of time that I've spent being happy about that gig that I've wanted to get for years has been about a minute. And then I've thought, oh, now that I'm on to the next thing. And I have, you know, and I've caught myself doing that. I've had to break away from it and start just appreciating the present moment and like what I've got, because otherwise it's just not enjoyable, because you just become so unaware of the present moment.
If you put all your energy into the present moment, it can unlock doors in the future.
And it's easier said than done, but it's I think it's really important that you do strive to be present as much as you can. So
with you saying earlier on, just going back to when you said you one of your favourite sets was Hide and Seek with Jensen. Mm-hmm. Would you say that was the favourite back-to-back? Or because you've done a lot.
Again, back-to-back. There's I've played back-to-back.
Remember that one with Georgie?
When I think about, I've played back-to-back with Chris Stussy. I've played like Julian Anthony. That was my Melody.
There's so many you probably can't pick one.
So it's like
I couldn't pick one.
Right, what we're gonna do is we're gonna do a five aside back to back now.
Oh my god! No. I would so struggle. It's like because you just can't compare them. You really can't because they're all so special in their own way.
Yeah,
that one that you mentioned with Georgia under the arches.
I've seen videos. It looked good. Yeah.
I mentioned it to Lucas, but what do you prefer, playing solo or back to back? Because back to back goes a journey, track for track. It's an absolute competition.
I feel like more solo is a journey.
They're very different. It depends. I mean, I do love playing on my own as well. I may have an all night long in the diary, in the next few months, which I can't wait for.
We'll come then.
So I do. Yeah, Philippe, I'll put you on the guest list if you want. So
that's it. TikTok. There's not a room. There's not enough room. Sorry.
All of you.
Nah, five. So, Dan'll stay at home.
Yeah.
Dan will be your sound engineer for a night.
Oh, that would be great, actually. Yeah,
he'll
be all sounding fat.
He'll be your ghost producer.
Yeah, sounds good. But yeah, they're very different. I do love back to backs as well. It's just it depends on what you're playing at. And
do you reckon your dream is to play back to back with Lily one day in a big venue?
Oh, that would be imagine. Lovely.
That'll be good. I might shed a tear.
I think it will happen.
Shed a tear.
I'll
be crying the whole way through.
That'll be sick.
Yeah.
how certain do you think that is?
It will happen.
That'll be legendary. That'll
be sick.
100%. That'll be so good.
You
should let her just like even just like spin a track. You playing a set, just go on Lily, just hop on for a track. Why you go to
talk? I'll have to check what track it is first.
Yeah, do you reckon she would? It, depending how big the crowd
pressure
is.
Though.
Not like, yet, but when she can. Oh yeah, Lily's very confident. When she's able to DJ, Lily will be like, yeah. She'll be trying to jump
Let's
on all
it.
The time. Yeah.
Good.
So going back to your mindset and your mental health type of thing, I assume you don't get nervous for sets nowadays, but you might do. What are your approaches to a set? How do you calm your nerves if you do get nervous?
So when I played at Circus last week, I went and had a look. The crowd was just getting bigger and bigger. And it's
a
10,000 capacity space. So, and I was quite, I did feel quite nervous just before getting on there.
A bit overwhelming.
Yeah, but you've just got to think. I always just think you've just got to get on with it. Like, you're very lucky, you know. It'll be all right.
It's quite hard to block a crowd out of such size, though.
So when you get on and it's a big crowd, it's good. You have to kind of, you've got the front people, you've got to look past them towards the back and focus towards the back, because then it's not overwhelming. And then you're looking out and over, and then as you warm into it, then you can kind of start having
interaction,
having it more towards the front. Yeah, once you've settled into it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. What's the biggest crowd you play for?
I'd say 10,000. Yeah,
it's huge.
10,000 people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's insane. It's light work.
Yeah.
So what we like to do towards the end of the pod is we ask our three generic questions. Is mm-hmm. First one being, what is the dream back-to-back that you've not played yet?
Yeah.
So what is...
Yeah. Fumiya Tanaka.
I can imagine I'll be ill.
Yeah.
The second one would be, what is the dream venue that you've not played?
Yeah. I've said the White Hotel already, so now I'm going to say Brett.
Brett.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Brett would be crazy.
I want to play the Monday at ADE at Brett for Slap Funk.
What, Slap Funk?
Yeah, I'd like to play that.
I went last year. It was really
I was there.
Yeah, I think
I didn't see you.
I was with Jelson, and I know Jelson and Christy didn't go. I was with Simo.
Me and Lily were there.
I was with Simo Stock.
The challenge. One just gone?
No, the last
one. Oh, right. No, I wasn't there.
Not this year.
Right.
24.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Jelson
went this year, didn't he?
We didn't do that long, you know, because Lily was like, Lily's not got quite as much stamina as me. Like, I could have been in there for ages.
That's the experience, though.
Simo and Jelson did 23 hours this year.
Yeah, they were having a great time.
Well, if we run back to the RTK bod, he did 48 hours or something.
No, he did 35 hours or something, he said, or something like that.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
He did. He ran the security guy's double shift and passed.
Sounds about right.
Standard. But yeah, and the last question.
Yeah, so out of your close circle of friends, or even just mm-hmm. anyone in the scene that you think would be great to have on the third person podcast, who would you like to for us to interview? Not interview, but have a conversation with.
I think you should get Pac on. I think Pac would be brilliant.
Yeah.
Again, another he's person I love to play him back to back with. Yeah.
Yeah, Pac. He's a thought. He's the boy. Bundle of energy.
I love him.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, Rishi, we've really enjoyed having you on and having this conversation.
Thank you so much.
It's been great to get insight about you and really kind of your mental health and sort of just your generic, your values that everyone gets to see and hopefully people can sort of resonate with, but also just connect with you on a deep level. With.
Oh, thank you so much.
Big up everyone watching every episode so far. We can't thank everyone for the support. Big up, keep liking everything, and we'll be back with another episode soon. But big up, Rishi.
Appreciate that. Love everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sat crying then.